We're looking at Luke chapter number 4, and we're looking at Luke chapter number 4. I've mentioned this before, but I did hear the story about this fellow. He's getting older, you know, had that birthday here a couple weeks ago, and he was looking at the mirror, and he said, honey, he talked to his wife, says, all I see is a fat, ugly, old, bald guy, and he said, I need you to say something that would build me up. He said, I'm really looking at that, and I'm really depressed. He said, I see all those wrinkles, and I see everything. He said, you've got to say something that would boost my image, get me through the day. And as wives often do, she was really right there for him. She said, well, your eyesight is terrific. So, not the compliment that he wanted, but what he got. So we're looking at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 31. We're going to read through some passages here. We'll go all the way to 44. We won't read all that, but we'll look through here. And then what we're going to do is kind of do a little Bible study as we look through the passage, and then I'll come back and preach through it and trust it'll be a blessing to you. And verse 31, and came down to Capernaum and a city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath days. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And we'll go through the rest of this chapter, but we'll stop reading for there, and we'll trust the Lord will bless us as we look at the works of Jesus tonight. And so as we make our way down through here, we'll see in verse number 31, he's coming down to Capernaum. And Jesus had visited Capernaum before. You'd see back in verse number 23, it talks about him being in Capernaum and some of the reference to that spot. He had been there, but he would always go home to Nazareth. You could see that up there as well. But the unbelief of the people in Nazareth kept him from doing a lot of works. You say, well, how could things keep God from doing works? Well, the unbelief, because they wouldn't have faith. And so that unbelief kept them from seeing him do great things. That's in verse number 24. We looked at it a week or so back. But now he's moving to Capernaum, and over in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 4:13 says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. And so he makes his way down to Capernaum to be his base of operations. And apparently his mother had come with him, not mentioned anything about his stepfather, Joseph, so possibly he was dead by this point. Regardless, I don't know. But we see him making his base out of Capernaum. And then in verse number 33, as you work your way down through there, we see the man with the unclean devil or the demon. And then in verse number 34, he says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And you remember in James chapter 2, the Bible says that the devils also believe and tremble. So they're well aware of who he is. Amazing, the many people that deny God exists and they are doing the work of Satan possibly, but they deny God exists. But the one that they're working for, he doesn't deny that he exists. And they may deny it all day long, but one day, of course, they will admit that. But they'll see at that point, though, that although they denied him, the one that they labored for, the evil one, didn't deny him. And so we see that that's mentioned in James chapter 2. But then we're looking down at verse number 36 and verse number 37. The fame of Jesus spreads, and they were all amazed, as it says there in verse number 36. They spake among themselves. Verse number 37, the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Well, then we get down to verse number 38 and 39, and Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And so he arose, verse 38, out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she arose and ministered unto them. That happens there in those verses. But then the word spreads. Look down in verse number 40. We'll see that people start bringing out of the woodwork, so to speak. They start bringing, and the sun was setting. All that they had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And so we see that his fame spreads. And then in verse number 41, we'll see that the devils also came out of many crying, and Jesus rebukes them. He says, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Again, they were well aware of that. And then in verse number 42, he goes to be alone in the desert. And then in 43 and 44, he preaches all the way around there. Verse 43 says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So that's kind of working our way through the passage. But I want to just pick out a couple things and trust it'll be a blessing to you. So we'll look back at verse number 33, and we're going to see the demons that he's dealing with here. We see that these demons, they're created beings. They're ones that God had created, fallen from not from grace, but fallen from their lofty position. But they submit to Christ. And so it's just a reminder to you of all the things that are going on in this world. And you may sometimes think, wow, this world's a mess. This world is no more of a mess than what God allows it to be in. It is a mess, and we've got bukus of people running headlong away from anything that God wants them to do. But remember this, my friend, that as in this passage reveals to us, that the demons and demonic activity and those devils, they submit to Jesus, they submit to God. But so certainly, there must be some demonic activity going on in this world. We are living, I believe, on the blessings of people who came to this country seeking the Lord and trying to set up, not everybody, of course, but trying to set forth to advance the Christian faith. And so we have a lot of benefits right here in this nation that we live in. And so there are other countries that have much more demonic activity than we do. But when you look at the news and you see all the atrocities that are going on, you know that many of them cannot be made up by man. And so we understand that there's still the work of the wicked one, and we see that those demons, of course, back then and still working today. But I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 34, and I want you to see the position of Jesus Christ, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" I see the position that he's in. He's known by the demons. I think about the fact that in all of those wicked things going on, those wicked ones, they knew who that was. Other people were denying him. The religious people wouldn't acknowledge him, and the Jewish people, by and large, they refused to accept him as Messiah. But there was a group, and they knew who he was. The demonic activity. I think about this, a pastor from years ago, a large Baptist church. He was walking down through visiting a Catholic hospital, and there was two nuns walking through and down the hall, and one turned to the other and said, "Well, that's him." So he was known around in the community, even in the Catholic community there. Well, more than a pastor is known from a church that got very large in his city. More than that, Jesus is known by these demons. And so I thought about this, though. You and I need not be afraid of using the name of Jesus Christ as we're out and about. You understand that what the devil wants us to do is to be silent about your faith. He doesn't even mind if you mention some things like faith. Oftentimes you'll hear it. I went to Nashville here some time ago for that meeting with Aaron Snodderly, and you'll hear sometimes politicians, they'll say, "This is the faith community." You understand, we're more than the faith community. We're the ones that have our faith. We are a faith community, but the faith is in a person, Jesus Christ. Because when you say, "Wow, they're the faith community," then that could be, you could have faith in anything. You could have faith in a false god, or you could have this. They're the religious type. Well, we may be religious. That means you do things again and again. That maybe, oh, there they are. People of faith. Yes, we are people of faith, and yes, we are the faith community, and yes, we are religious, but there is a person that our faith is in. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that the demons had to bow before. They had to submit to him. I see the position of Christ, but not only that, but the power of Christ in verse number 35. When he tells them to get on out of there, they have to get out. He said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him," in verse number 35. And the demon had no choice but to obey what the Savior said. You know, I've seen some pretty unlikely matches. I've seen some big burly boys that used to ride our buses, and I've seen them back down from a little 5'1" mamaw or their mama. And she'll look up at him and shake that finger, and she'll tell him, "You better get in." And I tell you, he's twice the size of her this way and a 1.5 size this way. But when she says it, he beats to that drum and he does exactly what she says. She had the power. Well, more power than that, Christ had the power. As these demons were doing, they were tormenting these folks, and Christ said, "Hold thy peace and come out." And I see the position and the power. But then you look at verse number 36 and 7, I see the publicity, if I'm going to alliterate it there, because the word spread. And I'm convinced if you and I do enough of a job and we do enough promotion and we do enough telling and we do enough publications about it, if we tell enough folks about Jesus Christ, then this gathering that we have here will spread to the point where we would need to do something different for room, because I still believe if we could introduce enough people to Jesus and let him change their life, we won't be able to hold all that come. Because you understand that the truth is the truth, and the truth is what works. And there are people that have their faith in a false religion, and they get, because of the structure that they attach themselves to, they seemingly have a little bit of success. But you understand that false religion leaves you empty, even though it leaves you religious. And so I'm convinced the publicity that Christ had, the reason he was getting all that publicity, because of what he was doing. And my friend, if you and I would open up our mouths and share it with our coworkers and share it with the people that we're around on a regular basis of what Christ has done for me, then my friend, that's going to find some fertile ground to grow in the lives of some people. And the publicity of Jesus won't be done spreading in the pages of Scripture. The publicity of what he's done will still be spreading because of the fact that you and I are around people. But I see that he's giving the demons a run for their money, so to speak. But not only the demons, but then look in verse number 38, we see the diseases that he gives also a run for their money. He sees that, or he finds that Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and so we see in verse number 39, he stood over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Just as a side note, this is not what I'm preaching on, but look at the end of verse number 39, if you would. And immediately as she arose and ministered unto them. So she started serving as soon as she had her health back. And so I would say to you and I that we may not find ourselves serving as a pastor, deacon, assistant pastor, song leader, whatever else it is, or teacher for that matter, but we ought to be serving as well. If we've got the body, here's a lady that as soon as she got healed of that fever, then the Bible says she got up and started serving them. And so after this, though, after she does that, business really picks up. And the sick were healed, the demons were cast out, and we see that down through the verse number 40 and 41, all of the people were bringing the sick out there, and you would be doing the same with your loved one if you had somebody that had some problems. You say, well, I'd like for him to touch them. If Jesus were walking around on this earth today, I would want to get some folks that I know to him. And we see the diseases didn't hold any trouble for him either. But then I'm burdened about the last part. I just want to leave it with you. The duty that Christ finds in verse number 43 and 44. So this is the Son of God. This is God the Son. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. And here we find himself in verse 42. He departed and went into a desert place. I mean, he was getting away from some things. The people sought him and they wouldn't let him be alone. They came unto him and they stayed him that he should not depart from them. We see him getting alone, and each of us need time alone as well. We need time alone to pray. We need time alone to regroup, and we need time alone to gather our thoughts. We need communion with the Lord, and that's hard to do. And you understand, our phones keep us so connected that it's hard for us to even have a meaningful prayer time with the Lord, because there's always some notification going off on this thing, and there's always something that's dinging or telling us that we need to attend to something that's happening. And so we need to get alone, and we need to get ourselves apart from the things. And that's what Jesus goes to the desert there. And we need prayer. We need communion with the Lord. And sometimes we just need to talk ourselves down from some things, and we need to give it to the Lord. You say, Pastor John, I don't know how you'd pray for this extended amount of time. I can tell you one thing you can do is you can just bring some things to the Lord, and you can sit there for a while and let God simmer you down. Because when you bring things to the Lord and you're hopping mad about something that's happened to you and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this, and you bring it to him and then you start thinking about how powerful he is and how nothing's ever challenged him and how nothing's ever been intimidating to him, and that this problem that you think is so large that you're wrestling with is nothing to him, all of a sudden you start thinking, maybe I shouldn't be so bothered by this. But the only way you get to that spot is when you get away from the things and you get to that little desert place like the Lord did, but you pull back from some of that stuff to let the Lord minister to you. I can tell you what I believe one of the devil's most successful tactics right now in 2025 is to keep you busy from the time you arise until the time you fall asleep fall almost dead on your feet on your pillow at night. If he can keep you and I busy, and we don't have time to ponder and to muse and to think and to rejoice about the Lord, and we don't have time to pray, then he can keep our mind focused, and he can keep our mind focused on all of the things that are happening. My friend, he's won the battle in our lives, because we need to pull back. And so we see that he's coming alone now. And then, though, after that time that he comes alone, the people aren't going to let him be alone. They came and they stayed him, and they would not depart from them, that he should not depart from them. But then he said unto them, verse number 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Then we see him rise and go and do what needs to be done. You remember Joshua back in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 1. God tells him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise. And Joshua very well might have wanted to wait for a little while longer and mourn the death of his leader. But he said, arise, go over this Jordan. And so there does come a time after you commune and after you have that time with the Lord, we have to get up and go do something. Arise. And he says, I've got all this work to do. I need to preach to all of these places. And he went all around Galilee. We heated with wood growing up. And do you understand what needs to happen before you go to bed, when you get up, sometimes through the day? Do you know what needs to happen whether you feel like doing it or not? There needs to be wood put in that wood stove. Because if not, then you don't keep warm. And before it can be put in the wood stove, somebody's got to cut it and bring it in and all of those things. And so, my friend, sometimes we're waiting for some beautiful cloud to settle over us and kind of gradually or casually maybe and just delightfully move us around from one event to another in life. Wouldn't it be so nice if God would just kind of float us from one event to another? It might be nice, but it ain't happening. Because I can imagine me telling Dave Herdman, well, Dan, I just don't feel like cutting wood today. I don't think God's in that. After he picked me up off the floor, he said, I don't care what God's in. I'll tell you what I'm in. No, he wouldn't. Almost would have, but he wouldn't pick me up. He'd let me get myself up. That was the only untruth of the story. He knocked me down, but then would let me get myself up. But duty means that you pick up and you do things even when you sometimes don't feel like it. Somebody works, my father-in-law worked for 35 or 37 years at one place, which nowadays is not that common. But so many of the days, I'm sure that he didn't feel like getting up, but he was faithful attendance all, not that he didn't miss the day. Of course, you're going to be sick sometimes. But he had faithful to that job, just a secular job, for 3 or 4 decades. And many times you wouldn't have felt like getting up, but you get up, you go, you do what you're supposed to do. And we see that played out with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. We've got a group of people here. They're saying, please don't leave us. Please, it's good. He's like Peter. Lord, it's good that we be here. Why don't we just build a couple tabernacles? It's great that you're here. And he's got a group of people. They don't want him to leave. But his duty says that I've got a lot of ground to cover. And there are some times when we'll feel some kind little nudges from the Lord. Wow, I just feel so good about doing this. But there'll be other times. Let me back it up. You take the Bible on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, pick a day. And sometimes you will just feel like, wow, everything happened great. I woke up before my alarm clock. Some elf came in and turned my coffee pot on. I didn't even have to do it for myself. It just seemed like I kind of glided into the living room and sat down there in my favorite chair. And when I opened up the Bible, it just seemed like it wasn't a few minutes, and God was just making things come alive to me. And wow, what a wonderful day. Maybe that'll happen for you on Thursday. But this scenario is probably more like it. You'll get out of bed. No magic fairy came in to make your coffee. You got to go in and do that if you like it. And then you'll probably stub your toe on something as you're getting out of the bed, and somebody left something. Did you ever notice, we don't have many more, but did you ever notice how much pain little Lego pieces can inflict on you when you step on those coming down the hall? Jared used to build those things, and it felt like a piercing piercing dart just coming up through the foot there. Probably something like that will happen. And you'll get in there. Finally, you get your coffee. Finally, you'll sit down. And sometimes your eyes are so tired, you've got to reread your passages a couple times because you've almost fallen asleep. But you find yourself saying, I'm going to do it. I want to see what God has for me. Now, that first scenario, don't we love it when that happens? And it does happen. But on that second scenario, when it comes out as well, we need to discipline ourselves and get right back into the book. And we see the duty that Christ had. And he said, as they're begging him, oh, please don't go. Please stay. He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. That's the reason I'm here. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as an employer, whatever it is, you feel the weight of that duty. But may we take that weight and perform the duty that God has put on us and do it for his glory. So Jesus does his work. He casts out, he heals, he preaches. And obviously we can't do it like he did it because we're not him. But we can take the lessons. He casts out the demons. He casts out the diseases. But then the part that we can really focus on, he does what he considers, or I'm calling rather, his duty. And may we, like the Lord Jesus Christ, do it when it feels like everybody's wanting us to, or it feels good. But then may we also do it when it doesn't feel as profitable, or in his case, oh, please don't go. I've got my duty. And thank God he did his duty all along. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for that duty that the Lord Jesus Christ, he put himself, he took the weight of the cross. Lord, because he loved us, because that was your plan, because that was what would provide salvation. Thank you for a principled Savior, and help us, dear Lord, to be principled in our living as well. And may we serve and see that happen in our lives. As the ladies begin to play, when they find something, and if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. More of a Bible study tonight, but I hope it's given you something that you can chew on and go home with. And maybe you're here tonight and you've been waiting for nice little spiritual clouds to come over you, and this nice little fun area, then whenever God brings that, then I'll move and do what he wants me to do. My friend, a lot of times those things aren't coming. I heard somebody and they were trying to motivate people either to lose weight or get in shape, and I don't remember which. But they said this, and it hasn't left me. They said, you are waiting for motivation to come and go lose that weight or get in shape or change some things. They said, you're waiting for that motivation. And this speaker said, the motivation is not coming. And what that speaker went on to tell them was, you're going to have to decide to make a change and then go forward with that change with or without the motivation. And I thought, wow, that would be true in our spiritual life as well. If we read our Bibles and we pray only when everything works out good in the mornings or when in the evenings, whenever you do it, everything works out just perfectly right. If that's the only time we do it, we'll miss a lot of times because all of the things won't line up exactly right. We need to get back to duty. And I pray the Lord would lead us in that. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? If you're here tonight and God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come give some things up to the Lord at this altar. Maybe make an altar out of your pew right there where you stand. Just pray and seek the Lord. Tell the Lord, I need to do this, that, or the other. I need to do it better. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. Would you give it to the Lord tonight? You need somebody to pray with you. Brother Daniel's right down here at the front. Maybe you're here this evening, not sure that you're saved. Not sure you're on your way to heaven. We talked about that time when people got saved and you were thinking, well, I don't remember a time they ever did get saved. My friend, would you slip out and come and let Brother Daniel or somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure that this night is the night that you made certain you took Christ as your Savior for forgiveness of sin. Maybe there's some other need you have. You need to join the church. Maybe you need to be baptized. you come as they play. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Oh, what a wonderful way to live. When we walk out this room tonight, let's make that true in our life. I'm going to ask you to play one more verse. And the words of that are, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Before you walk out of this room tonight, young people, older folks, parents, children, teenagers, grandparents, whoever we all are, let's walk out of this room being able to say, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Give it to Him right now. If there's something that's bothering you, something that you're convicted about, give it up to Him. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. If you've got time, I'm going to have you be seated. Brother Danny's going to come and go over a few mission items I'd like for our